You are listening to Legion of Substitute Podcasters, episode 485. The Space Circus of Death. And welcome to episode 485 of Legion of Substitute Podcasters. I am Paul French, and today I am... I think that is a terrible slogan for the circus, lad. I think you know, in your seeking entertainment, something that is going to kill you is probably not the one to go with. I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm just saying. So
picky.
Fussy. All right. So, yeah. That's really all I got today.
That's you.
That's me. That's over to you, sir. Let's move.
And don't go to a circus full of death for entertainment. Okay.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. I am Darren Noella, and I am hungover, kid. Last night I went out, and I found out that my limit on rum and cokes is 6.
Not 32.
Especially when I haven't had a really filling meal that evening. So, yeah. So when you come home and... you need to put your foot down on the floor in order to keep the floor from spinning.
There you have
it. Too much. You had a little too much. So, yeah.
The more you know. Bang, bang, bing.
Exactly. So, just words to live by, okay? Over to you, Travis.
I'm Travis Elsor, and I am unexpected pancakes lad.
Woo! Best kind.
It was that sounds like a good name. Yeah, this morning I got up early. Today was my... only day off that I had time to do anything. So my plan was to go get the oil changed in my car first thing this morning at 7 o'clock. Well, I got to the place to get the oil changed and they've changed their hours and don't open till 8 o'clock.
Oh, bastards.
So, but really close to there is a Cracker Barrel restaurant.
Oh, and
so
you
I went
are in the South, sir.
Yes, I got the Mama's pancake breakfast with the fried apples and whipped cream on top.
Oh, sounds good.
I think I'm still full.
You probably are.
It's been 13, 14 hours, but damn. Oh.
It was wonderful.
Nice.
Over to you, Michael.
Well, I was going to say that today I am Family Guy because I just got back this afternoon from a cousin's wedding in Florida where I got to see all my cousins and aunt and uncle and the new baby and everybody that I haven't seen in a couple of years. But then I decided I'm going to be 6 rum and cokes is not my limit, lad. because I had at least that many at the rehearsal dinner and at the wedding, and I was perfectly fine the next day.
Sweet. There you go. Texas, son, Texas.
Well, I had not properly pre-gamed in my defense. Usually when I go out, I'm usually like, okay, I need to eat a decent meal so I can handle the alcohol in my system.
It's not a contest, guys.
I made that. Just...
yes, exactly. The Legion of Substitute Podcasters neither condones nor condemns.
Jeez, we have a drinking game as part of the show. Come on.
And I wasn't driving, so, you know, that's no big deal.
Oh, exactly.
No. Drives. We don't drive. That'd be awful.
I also have a rare genetic mutation that allows me to drink without getting a hangover the next day.
Damn.
I'm jealous. You've
been two-upped.
Thank you. I'll just sit over here and speak softly to myself.
Just weep in a fetal position.
No, I didn't have to do that. I kept everything inside my body. Thank you.
Excellent. Hey, now.
No, right. Just been hydrating.
All right, then. So, Legion news. Is there much in the way of actual Legion news?
No.
No.
I think so. Were they on Supergirl last week? Because
yeah. I think so.
The kids were busy today, so I still have yet to see the last two episodes, so I'm looking forward to finally getting that caught up this week at some point.
Yes, they were on last week, and something that I speculated based on no evidence whatsoever is that the reason that a couple Legionnaires and or their powers have not been seen on the show last night is because there are other characters who have appeared on the show who duplicate those power sets.
Absolutely makes sense. First come, first serve.
I won't give any more spoilers since you haven't seen them yet. But if you look to see who was on last week's episode, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Fair enough. All right. I don't have much in the way of actual Legion news. However, I was listening to 11 O'Clock Comics the other day, and they had an interview with Jeff Lemire. He was on for a good chunk of the show and talked about all sorts of his books. And and I realized I really need to dig deep on Black Hammer because it sounds awesome.
I've heard really good things, and I've bought the first collection, but I still haven't had time to read it.
Yeah. So I got to dig deeper onto this because I it sounds like something I'll really like. But one of the things he talked about, and it got announced back in October at the New York Comic Con, and there you know, there's at these cons, there's a lot of stuff gets announced, and some things kind of slip out from. From much notice. And so it's a book that he's writing and Giffen is drawing. Uh-huh. And it's called The Inferior Five. It does not star Merryman or the other members of the Inferior Five.
Not Dumb Bunny?
No, sir. It basically, the way to think about it is it's like Stranger Things set against the backdrop of the late 80s DC Universe. Okay. So basically a bunch of families have been relocated because of the invasion.
Ah.
And there's crazy weird things going on in the town, and these kids are digging into it. And meanwhile, it's kind of like looking at the DC universe from another set of eyes. There was something that Marvel did a number of years ago and Tommy Lee Edwards drew it, and I don't remember what it was called, but it was a similar kind of thing with some kids in a town, and there was something going on with the Skrulls in the background kind of thing.
Mark Miller wrote that.
That's right. It was Miller and Tommy Lee Edwards.
I'll tell you the name.
Yeah, because Edwards was the reason I bought it, and so this sounded kind of reminiscent of that. But the neat thing about this...
Marvel 1985.
That's it, yes. Yeah, so this one takes place in 1988. And the kind of neat thing about it is that Lemire was saying, you know, that's when... He's like, that's when I was 12 years old reading comics. And as we've always said, the comics you read when you're 12, that's the stuff...
Are the ones that set it.
Really, yeah. Stick, right? Mm-hmm. And so he said, you know... Yeah, so when I was 12, I was reading all those comics, and Keith was writing half of them. And so Giffen's drawing it, and he says that basically they'll have a conversation that is where they kind of set out the plot, and they'll have this, and he says it's not so much writing a plot out as having a conversation, and then a couple of weeks later he gets a bunch of pages in the mail, and starts working on dialoguing, and he's like. Half of it is the stuff we talked about. Half of it is new stuff, and as every writer we've talked to that's worked with Keith has said, you know, is that he, you know, that's where he tends to add stuff and add ideas, and then it's a kind of a retrenching of okay, so now where do we go with it? Along with this, Lemire will be writing and drawing a backup feature in the book about that is centered on Peacemaker. It sounds like they're well into the work of it. So I'm not sure when it's supposed to be coming out, but worth checking out for those of us that are fans of Mr. Giffen. And just fans of that era of comics, and you know, there was a lot of fun stuff going on back then. Mm-hmm. So
interesting.
And this would have been, and you know, 1988. So obviously, it's going to be more the stuff that was going on in that year. But you know, that was for us. That was when Giffen went back to the Legion too. Sort of late mm-hmm. in that year.
Oh, I don't think it was even mentioned in any of the Legion groups on Facebook I saw, but this past week's Doomsday Clock, there is a like one panel thing where
that leave a breadcrumb trail. Thanks.
Yeah.
Is there a Red Sky?
Where Batman says that he's detected a temporal anomaly at Arkham Asylum.
Oh, shocker.
There we go. Yeah. And so it begins. Of course, that book will still be coming out. I think they've just shifted it to a bi-monthly schedule.
Yeah, and it's like 12 issues. So.
Yeah.
Wow,
so,
really?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah, it turns out that year wasn't quite enough.
The DC challenge. Can you solve it, kids?
I thought that was fun.
Yeah.
Oh, the DC challenge?
Yeah.
I wasn't reading stuff at the time.
I was going back to the 1985 one.
Yeah. There was the Commandy challenge recently, which I heard was actually kind of fun.
But. Yeah, I've heard that was good. Mm. But they're putting a lot of work in that Doomsday Clock. And if you go back to, like, original Watchmen, I mean, you remember how the issues got really late?
Yeah.
So this. So yeah, that's what they got to do.
They're imitating it in more ways than one.
Yes, they are.
I just read on Twitter that Geoff Johns announced that Doomsday Clock is going to go bi-monthly until they catch up.
Yes. Yes.
Probably the whole thing then.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I mean, Gary Frank is not known as a fast artist. And you know what? All credit. Like he's putting some solid work into this book. And while I'm finding it to be somewhat leadenly paced, you know, I mean that's just a Geoff Johns thing, isn't it?
True.
You know, yeah. is why tell it? Why unfold a story in three issues that you can unfold in 12? And I mean, he's not alone in that, you know, so
no,
it's not,
no.
He's hardly he the first not. And won't be the last. So, but so we actually, so there's been some mention of Legion in there. There we go. That counts as Legion news in one
Fair
panel.
Enough.
In one panel.
It's a temporal anomaly, not a mention of Legion. So, yeah.
Well, we know what it's in reference to. We know who.
We're grasping at straws here.
Totally, yeah, we are. Yeah, totally, yeah. But, you know, who else is the temporal anomaly at Arkham that is tied into this?
Just
Clock King?
Yeah, maybe. We don't know.
Haters gonna hate. All right. So now we pivot from that book into one of the finest comics ever written.
Wow.
And then pivot over to the issue we're going to talk about today.
Exactly.
And just remember, the people who are listening to this are the ones who said that these were the stories they wanted us to recap.
That's true.
Because there was a vote.
That's true, there was.
And this is what they wanted, so this is what they're going to get.
You asked for this.
That seems to be going around this year, doesn't it?
A lot of that's going around, yeah.
All right, so without much further ado, Darren, why don't you take us through this one? I think I did it last week. And
what did I do to you?
Yeah, exactly. It's all your fault, sir.
Apparently. Teach me to write a post on a forum. Okay.
A decade right, so ago.
Heroes, woohoo, issue 261. We have the ringmaster there with his whip yelling, "Legionnaires, you only have 12 hours to find the killer or Earth goes to war."
Again?
Again. Haven't we done this before? And on the cover we have Projectra, Timberwolf, Mon-El, Brainiac 5, Starboy, and Phantom Girl. And it, the tag is, witness the final act in the circus of death.
Death.
And, Dick Giordano.
Thank you. And I just want to point out, when it says the final act in the circus of death, they really mean it's the final act, because thank goodness we never see this group of circus people ever again.
Does that mean they all died? Because that would solve this problem.
Ah, we have to read it to find out.
It is. Yes, it is afraid, the circus of death, Darren. It's not the circus of
Recurring villains. Thank God.
Not the circus of sitting down having a tea afterward.
Have a tea. Roll call is Timberwolf, Brainiac 5, Prince Projector, Phantom Girl, Starboy, and Mon-El. Lo and behold, the roll call is the same as the characters on the cover. Shocking.
What?
It's Jerry Conway, writer, Rick Estrada and John Galnan, artist, Todd Klein, letters, Gene D'Angelo, colors, Jaxie Harris, editor. And the title is The Space Circus of Death. It's all over, that's when destiny hands you a deadly surprise. And for these legionnaires, convinced they've discovered a treacherous murder at the Bacard Barley Interstellar Traveling Carnival and Sideshow, please God, let that be the last time that is in this book. The surprise is obvious and frightening as their prime suspect is slain before their very eyes. Kazak! The brain scanner, instead of proving his guilt, it's electrocuting him. Good Lord! Apparently, the Archer last issue, who is no fool, apparently is a big fool.
No, isn't that Immick the Juggler?
Immick the Juggler, not the Archer, sorry. Another accident like the accidents that have already killed three other members of the circus. How can it be when we thought Immick here was the killer? Whatever he was, my friends, he is now one of the victims. Which puts us back to square one, doesn't it? I'm afraid so, Phantom Girl. I'd like to point out that the colorist has miscolored Jackie's hair blonde here, not white.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We came to this artificial worldlet to uncover the identity of the mysterious murderer plaguing the space circus, and when we found Immick lurking about the site of an attempted attack on Timberwolf, the evidence against him seemed overwhelming. Yeah, thank you, exposition lass. Right now, Princess Projector, the evidence is nil. Whatever turned that brain scanner into an execution device also melted its insides to slag, leaving no clues. On the contrary, Mon-El, it's provided us with one very telling clue. Ooh, has it now? Whoever did this had a technical education. I suggest we re-examine the dossiers on our two other suspects. We may learn something interesting. And while the Legionnaires turn to Brainiac 5 to listen intently, outside and above, a silhouetted figure listens also, dismayed. It's all going wrong. I wanted Immick dead so he could take the blame for the killings until the circus left the system for deep space, leaving the Legionnaires here on Earth, but I was sloppy. And now the Legionnaires know Immick was innocent. Well, there's nothing to do now but kill them all. As a patriot, surely it's the least that I can... this is the, co-manager or under-manager of the circus, who was one of the suspects last time. What? Oh, sorry, I didn't see you. Wait, what were you doing here? And why are you carrying that disruptor? Oh, my God, it's you! You're the killer! Dun, dun, dun! And, of course, that means she's toast on the next page. Doom. Stunk.
And the gun that he uses goes, Fayoom.
It's almost like they have Tyrock in there. Star was like, you heard it? A scream. And it sounded like it came from there. The direction of those cargo containers. Look, that dwindling light. Radiation spillage from a molecular field disruptor. Enough talk. Time to act, Timberwolf says. And he leaps into action. And we've got a lot of exposition telling us who Bryn Londo is. His name is Bryn Londo, but to his fellow Legionnaires in the galaxy, he's known as the most taciturn hero of all, the one called Timberwolf. He rarely speaks because he rarely has anything to say. This is not because of any intellectual limitations on Bryn Londo's part.
That'd be Ultra Boy.
Yeah, exactly. He's not Ultra Boy.
I think Bryn's done his fair share of being stupid along the way in the 11th run. So. But rather, it is due to an intense understanding that words matter little in worlds where violence is sudden and danger omnipresent. And so he does not bother to call out to the fleeing figure before him. Instead, he saves his breath and makes no sound as he leaps an incredible distance. His target is less restrained. Arg! Bzzzt! Slams him into something there. The gun now goes Kazan. and hit something, not Timberwolf, wham. And then he hears an roar. On its own world, the Venusian Night Shark is a deadly juggernaut of sheer destructive energy, a creature that kills to live and lives to kill. And like the lions and tigers of old Earth, it too has been turned into a sideshow display for the amusement of the great unwashed. And like those two carnivores of man's own past, it too, despite the cage, despite imprisonment, despite all reason, is still an engine of murder. Oh. And after too long, it has finally found new prey. And it's like, and the bad guy says, a chance for distraction, escape, only seconds before the other legionnaires arrive. Danger, keep gate locked. But instead of finding Timberwolf with a prisoner, he clicks the button with his blaster. They'll find living death.
Oh, yeah, he works for that circus all right.
Yeah. Consider this, only 30 seconds have elapsed since Timberwolf plunged after an escaping murderer. 30 seconds in which the hunter turned hunted. What in space is that? Starboy, that creature swatted him as if he was a housefly. And Projector says, let's see if we can return the compliment, Mon-El.
Can I just say, clearly, I mean, again, Projector's hair color is wrong. I just can't I can't read this if the hair color isn't going to be right.
Really?
I mean, you know, that's what it's all about, is her hair color.
I'm just pointing it out.
If the hair color is wrong, then it's not even the same character.
It isn't. Why would they even bother having Princess Projector in this book?
Wow.
This made a commentary? What's going on?
Yeah, he was making a commentary. Yes, it's true. Princess Projector is occupying that monster's attention with an illusion of a large Jeff Goldblum from...
I'm sorry, but we must acknowledge Princess Projectra in air quotes because, you know.
And there's a Phantom Girl, and since this is just a dumb brute, probably bewildered and only doing what comes naturally, we don't really want to hurt it.
Aww.
So I'll just try a trick on it that I've been meaning to test out for some time, and she phantoms through its brain and goes, "Ark!"
Damn.
And intriguing strategy, Phantom Girl passing through the creature's brain pan in your immaterial form and then solidifying ever so slightly as you exited, the shock to the monster's nervous system was stultifying. Stultifying?
That is.
Is that actually a word?
It is.
Yeah. Isn't that how Zoom like killed?
Yeah. Barry's mom twice. Yeah. Yes. I suggest you reserve your analysis of the situation and tactics for another time, Brainiac 5. Timberwolf needs aid. Oh, hardly. He's simply stunned. He'll be fine in an hour.
Let's see. Stultifying, by the way.
Yes.
Is a verb, or stultify is a verb, which means to cause to lose enthusiasm and initiative, especially as a result of a tedious or restrictive routine. Or... to cause someone to appear foolish or absurd.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's the...
Okay.
Right.
So this has been your educational moment on Legion of Substitute Podcast.
Well, but not only that, but the word that he used isn't even the right word.
I know, right? Doesn't fit. Anyway, there's Starboy. Yeah, too bad we may not have an hour, Brainy. We were sent here to catch a killer and keep the Earth from being embroiled in an interplanetary political crisis. And so far, we've come up empty-handed and with the circus getting ready to leave orbit. We may have just missed our chance. And true to Starboy's fears, less than an hour later, as the last caged beast and folded tent are stowed aboard the circus spaceships, a gloomy conference is held in the cabin of the circus ringmaster, one Aton Gissak. No, quite impossible. We cannot stay in this horrible solar system a day, an hour, a minute longer. Too many murders. So that's it. You're just going to quit? And the man says, quit? You forget, Legionnaire. I came to you for help. Remember what I told you? Our circus is a cultural exchange between my homeworld and the Cygnus Confederation and Earth. Earth. For several years, your United Planets and my Cygnus Confederation have been seeking a way to overcome our mutual antagonisms. By sending the circus founded by my own great-great-grandmother Barley, we hope to show our peaceful intentions. But from the moment of our arrival in your planetary system, we've been victimized. Why, there wasn't even an attempt on my life when I first visited you, Legionnaires. You agreed to come here disguised as circus members to uncover the assassin before his work plunged our nations into war. But, Legionnaires, you have failed miserably. I wish I could help you further. After all, I'm of human stock myself, not a native Signian like Imic, but I cannot endanger the circus a moment longer. Sir, that could mean war. Do you wish that responsibility? Princess, I've checked the probabilities with my personal computer, a computer I designed, mind you. Oh, really? And it warns me that my circus faces certain destruction if I stay in this system for even one more hour. Your own computer, Aton, and you programmed it? I know what you're suggesting, Brainiac 5, but I assure you I've not biased the computer's programs either for or against Earth. I believe you, Aton Gesark, but I have a suggestion for my colleagues. If your circus cannot stay in orbit around Earth, perhaps we should accompany you. And it makes a peculiar procession through the eternal night beyond Pluto's outer orbit, a mismatched collection of spaceships and personal trailers, like a gypsy caravan to the stars. And in the main ship, in the chamber that serves as mess hall and rec room, that Titus character, the composite clown, he's our last suspect, isn't it? He's one of the three possibilities Brainy picked out when we first arrived at the circus. And of course, all the legionnaires are looking at him as he's standing up, so they're not being unsubtle at all. And since the other two, Imic and Clovis, are dead, I'd say that makes that hive personality creature our prime suspect. And in such a surmise, you would be wrong. True, Imic died under the brain scanner, and Clovis was killed by the mysterious murderer chased by Timberwolf. But it does not follow that Tyrus is the only possible suspect. The original equation has been altered. Well, that may be so, but I think he's our man. And it looks like he's leaving, which means we better leave too. Do what you wish. It might even do some good, though not in the way you imagine. Excellent soup, though perhaps a bit too spicy, as Brainy goes to eating. And Starboy and Manella following him. There he goes, out the airlock. Well, must be trying to reach another ship, maybe escape. Well, now why don't we just ask him? Well, there's a good question.
Yeah.
Then we have a full-page ad for subscribing.
Yes.
To the Legion of Superheroes. You can get 12 issues for the price of 10, and it is for $4.
What Damn. A bargain.
I'm going to do that.
Yeah, you should do that. Yeah. $4. Woo-hoo. Meanwhile, protected, however temporarily, from the vacuum of space by a portable force field, hunted and hunters move out into the starlight. Tyrus could be the figure Timberwolf chased. Hive creatures can change their size, shape, and bodily design at will, just like Chameleon Boy. But if that's true, why doesn't he seem more guilty? I'm beginning to think Brainy is right. The real murderer would never calmly lead us right to his... And the guy goes in and... Kaboom!
Oh, thank you.
Take a drink, kids. I'm adding it because it's not there.
Oh.
What was that? It's a shockwave. Something exploded out of the ship. I've been a fool. I should have expected this. I knew he'd try to kill us, but I didn't think so soon. Moments later, as the cloud of twisted metal and plastic begins to break apart. There they are, but look! But look! It's Dip! No, they're only stunned, Princess. Apparently they weren't near enough to the source of this explosion to be injured. You say you expected this, Brainiac 5? Explain. I expected an attack against us by the real murderer, Brent. Our deaths would be the last thing he'd need to start a war between the United Planets and the Cygnus Confederation, for war is what he wants. However, I expected the deed to be done when we reached Cygnus 4, and in this I underestimated our foe. But who is it, Brainiac 5? Who is the murderer?
Shut up, Brainy.
There's no time for that now, don't you see? The circus ships are speeding away, beginning to glow. They're preparing to make the jump into hyperspace, and they're leaving us behind.
You tell them, Saturn Girl.
Oh, yeah, wait. I know. She looks just like Saturn Girl there. Then we must act, and act quickly. The end of this energy chain, if we can reach it. Boom, boom, boom. And Timberwolf grabs it. I can feel the hyperpulses through the chain. Another few seconds, it'll be too late. Hurry before I'm pulled into hyperspace. Hurry! And they all get on board, and someone yells, Gods of Imisk, which doesn't make any sense because none of them are from Imisk. Intriguing. Yeah, well,
but maybe they're the ones that are all about the, when people get pulled into hyperspace. Oh.
You know what? Intriguing. I don't believe I've ever experienced hyperspace without the protection of a starship. It's worse than any illusion. No depth, no perspective, no form, no mass. I feel ill. Blech. There's going to be hurling.
maybe it'll fix her hair color.
Yeah, no, we cannot survive such visual disorientation. Princess, it's in your hands. We need an illusion of familiar reality, or we'll slip off this chain into oblivion. And the madness shimmers, shifts, and reshapes, and when the world has settled it into its new form, it seems so real. I don't know how long I can hold it, Brainiac. You must lead us to the murderer quickly. No need, Princess. You see, he's come to us. Atan Gisark, the ringmaster?
Gasp.
Of course. Brain85 told us the murderer had a technical education, and Gisark showed us a computer he designed himself. But why? Why did you kill? Energy blast passing through you? Impossible! And, of course, it's Phantom Girl.
Mm-hmm.
And it's she totally says... totally possible. Not impossible for a Phantom Girl, Gisark. You wasted your one shot. You won't get another. And she cracks him one across the chin. Again, Gisark, why? My human ancestors immigrated to Cygnus 4 centuries ago, but the natives never accepted us. I hate the Cygnians. Like Immic, I wanted them wiped out. I thought if I could make Immic look like a murderer, make the Cygnians appear they wanted war with Earth, then Earth would fight them, destroy them. That's all I wanted. It wasn't so much. Not so much you would throw your own planet into a war simply to take personal revenge against an entire race? You disgust me. But Atan Gisark doesn't hear the words Princess Projector is saying. His mad eyes scan the surrounding hills, and with a cry of freedom, he lunges for freedom. I'll escape. You won't catch me. You won't ever catch. Only discover too late that the freedom he hoped for was an illusion, and the reality is far worse than his own dark madness. He basically jumped off the end of the chain.
Yeah.
And yeah. My friends, let's go home, Brainy says. The end. Thank God.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, we made it to the end of that.
There we go.
Barely.
The Circus of Death.
Ugh. It was so, so circusy.
and deathy.
Very deathy.
Now let us never speak of this again.
Please.
Yes. So never speak. That's right, Seymour.
goodness.
That's okay, because you know what? You know what's coming up next.
What?
Is, well, it's one of the greatest comics ever written.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, if nothing else, at least next week we get a Jim Sherman cover.
Well, there that's something.
There is actually we get and Jim Sherman interiors. So,
ooh,
so there is that.
Oh my!
And
so this this issue went on sale December 17th, 1979.
Hmm.
That's a long time ago.
Yep.
That was a long time ago.
Damn, yeah. I'd forgotten, yeah, you know, it's, wow, yeah, that's crazy.
Wow.
That's crazy. So, I mean, I get that, and it's clear that DC was doing a lot to increase the profile of the book. Which is great. Uh-huh. And it was ultimately successful. We joked a lot about the exposition, but you know, that was a fairly common practice at that stage. And that was just the way comics were written at that stage. But I guess even more so when it's, hey, we're adding a whole lot of profile to this book. We are making them the leads of the book, and you know, we're changing the trade dress, the whole bit. So I get why they did a lot of that. I'm still, you know, when you really think about this,
mm-hmm.
It's a short stretch of issues. We're only a couple of years off the Levitt's run.
Right.
And yes, there's some rough spots along the way.
You can say that again.
there are some rough spots along the way.
There are some rough spots. Yes.
But yeah, I mean, but then they're the odd, you know, I mean, next issue's story is not the greatest story, but the art's pretty awesome, I gotta say. This was the promise of Sherman before, and so we're gonna get to sort of see a bit of that fulfilled is a nice thing. Yeah, so my way of saying nice things about this issue is to talk about another issue. So that is not lost on me.
No, can't be, kind of. Oh.
But you know what?
What?
At the very least, we got Jimmy Jayne starting soon.
Woohoo!
And I always quite enjoyed his art on this book. And so, yeah. There are some bright lights.
Indeed. Bright lights in the big city.
And so, speaking of when this issue went on sale, this week in Legion history.
Yes.
55 years ago, Adventure Comics number 306 went on sale.
Oh.
And do you remember what Adventure 306 was?
First subs, right?
First appearance of the subs, correct?
Yeah. Awesome.
55 years ago, January 31st, 1963.
That's amazing.
Subs.
50 That's awesome. Years ago, mm-hmm. January 30th, 1968, was Adventure 366, which was the fight for the championship of the universe.
Ooh.
And it's the one in which Shadow Lass becomes it's the second part of the Shadow Lass with the Fatal Five.
That's right. Yes. I have the first part of that. I have yet to get the second part.
And so that was 50 years ago. 35 years ago, February 3rd, 1983, was Adventure Comics 499, the Digest.
Okay, so let's just $4.99. So, I mean, we've talked about the Digest in the past, and right. And how cool they were, because they you know the Legion really, again, when we talk about the Legion getting some profile with the company, the Digest, they were all over the Digests. They had, right. You know, they had a couple where, like, you know, one of my favorites was where you had the Founders on the cover in their current costumes, quote unquote, you know, with the bikini, the bustier, and Lightning Lad in just his regular costume, and with their earlier counterparts right. there below, and it had a ton of stories. And this was for me a real introduction to the past of the Legion. You know, I had started reading the book, and you know that one, it had like the universe, the first story, it had the Universo story, it had a ton of stuff in there, And so it was, you know, it was a good start for me. And then you had the Adventure Adventure Turn Digest around this time.
Yep.
And so you had the Legion, you know, were a big part of it, because the whole idea of it was that they were reprinting the Legion stories chronologically. So that wasn't done a lot then.
This issue, 499, had a reprint of Adventure 303 and 304.
Yes, and I must note that on the cover, it said, "Who is the Legion's traitor? Take a drink."
Ooh, take a drink, please.
Because we have.
I'm going to have water.
Yes.
No reason.
We haven't had enough drinks this weekend.
Exactly. It's tough with one of those. But what I love about this is we had a Gil Kane cover, and again, something I learned to appreciate much later on. his style was a little jarring to me at the time, but now I see those covers, and it's like when Jeff Johns talks about the checkerboard across the top of a cover,
yep.
And how mm-hmm. that was his indicator of like, yes, I want this. For me, these Gil Kane covers, it's like, oh, I got to read that, because he, you know, like 82, 83, 84, you know, he was all over the place on the covers. This had, Legion of Superheroes, The Fantastic Spy, Aquaman, A Kingdom to Rebuild, which was from the Steve Skeets, Jim Aparo run. You had Captain Marvel, the talking tiger. That was an old Otto Binder. Recognize that name? And CC with CC Beck art.
Talky Tawny.
Yeah, exactly. And CC Beck, another name that would, you know, later have an effect on the Legion. Sandman, the villain from Valhalla, written and drawn by some guy named Kirby. And interestingly, Joe Simon was the inker on that story. The Legion of Superheroes with the stolen superpowers, taking us back to the John Fort days, and Jerry Siegel writing it. Captain Marvel, the Man in the Moon, again more Binder and Beck, and the Spectre. Now this is like the Spectre stuff that they were reprinting in this was like the Gardner Fox, Jerry Grandinetti stuff.
And not the Michael Fleischer, Jim Aparo stuff.
No, but they would they would later reprint a lot of that too. Right. You know, that was a pretty big one. I seem to recall there being a lot of those Spectre stories showing up later on, but yeah. So this would have been like the some of the showcase days and that sort of thing. Like I think. I'm not sure if this one in particular is in the Spectre Showcase, but the Spectre Showcase, let me tell you folks, and they're not paying me to say this. Believe me, they're not paying me to say this, but it is a thick damn book of Spectre stories from this era, you know, where Gardner Fox was writing it.
Yeah, I got that.
And you would later get... and you would have Murphy Anderson penciling sometimes inking, like in this case. Every now and then Neil Adams would pop up in it. And it is fantastic stuff and really, really, really worth your time. And again, like you're getting, just looking at this, you know, you got, yeah, The War That Shook the Universe. Ugh. Yeah, it's almost 600 it's just over 600 pages of Spectre stuff, and it's one of the thicker of the showcases, and I always love it when there's a nice big showcase that has all kinds of stuff. It's about as thick as the one of the Trial of the Flash, and we all know how long that story went on.
Seriously.
Yeah, like one episode of the TV series.
Yeah, yeah, but...
2 years of the comic.
Exactly.
Well, they had to put Colonel Computron in there somewhere.
Ah, yes, they did. Anyway, sorry, I just wanted to go off on a little tangent about the Digest, because
I just want to say, when Adventure went to its Digest-sized reprints, Adventure Comics number 501... was actually my first exposure to the Legion of Superheroes.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome.
Because yeah. My stepbrothers had some of those reprints, and I was kind of reading random comics. And when I'd go over to my dad's and stay every other weekend, I'd read whatever they had. So that one had the supervillains of all ages.
Mm-hmm.
Where Nero, Dillinger, and Hitler take over Superboy Mon-El and Ultra Boy's mind.
Ultra Dillinger.
You dirty rat.
Yeah, exactly. See?
And,
take a drink, by
the
way.
Hold on. I'll tell you what the name of the other one is. The Legionnaire Super Contest, where the subs tried out for the membership.
Yes.
And Stoneboy wins, then he doesn't join.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was my two first Legion comics, and that's why I still love the subs to this day, because I love that whole
amazing
concept.
Yeah, and see that, but that's the thing is those digests had a huge impact, because those weren't the days where like that's how we got, you know, as Legion fans we were lucky, because we got that thing where they started doing everything chronologically, and so we got to really kind of read a bit deeper into that backstory. Other stuff, it was kind of scattershot what you would see reprinted. And
yeah, that That comic also introduced me to the Spectre and the Ray. They had stories in there. And there was also Shazam and Aquaman and Plastic Man.
That's right. And that was an old Lou Fiennes Ray, like a quality comics
Golden,
Ray.
Golden Age, yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. You know, because the Ray was supposed to get his own feature in before the implosion. And I remember being really jazzed about that because one of the first books that I started reading was The Freedom Fighters. And so I, you know, really loved all those characters. And then they said, oh, yeah, the Ray's getting his own. And now I thought it was his own series. I think he was probably going to be like a backup feature in something. But then that got scuttled in the implosion.
He was going to be the backup in Black Lightning.
Oh, really? I guess that makes sense, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It does. It really does, actually.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was 35 years ago. Adventure 499 Digest. 25 years ago, February 2nd, 1993, was Timberwolf number 5. So we are into the 5 years later.
Mm-hmm.
So wait a second. That was
25 years ago, 1993.
Yep. Damn.
Did you old like yet there, old. Paul? You there?
Little bit.
20 years ago, February 28th, 1998, was Legion V4 number 102, which is, we're now into the reboot.
Yeah.
This is Starboy, Monstrous, Apparition, and Ultra Boy teaming up with the Uncanny Amazers, which are Kid Quantum, Atmos, Insect Queen, Conk, and Phrenolojax Lad.
Mm.
So wait a second. Let's just
unpack that.
Yeah, let's just unpack Phrenolojax Lad. Only a couple of appearances of this character. We wouldn't, be reading a lot of him.
he didn't become a fan favorite. No.
But of course, also from Xanthu as they were, and
I think Arm Fall Off Boy has more fans.
Yeah, so. But this would have been so Jason Armstrong was, I guess, back on the book at this point because he'd you know what I'm no I'm I was mixing him up with Jason Pearson for a second there. Mm. All people named Jason sound alike to me.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, so that would have been, wow. Yeah. Not read a lot of that stuff, I gotta say. Mm. That's a blind spot for me. And that was a second place vote getter in the overall discussion of what we should look at, so... You were so close, people. You were so close. You could have had that stuff instead of Conway. I'm just saying.
Oh, so
that was 20 years ago. 15 years ago, January 29th, 2003, is The Legion, issue number 16. And
what happened in that one?
Sorry?
What was going on in that one?
Let's see. The cover has Timberwolf and Ultra Boy versus the Fatal Five.
Fatal Five, I remember that, okay.
Make that 4 because the two of them combined have knocked out Validus on the cover.
There you go. But it's Timberwolf and Ultra Boy on the cover, and it wasn't labeled the Legion's Brain Trust?
That's correct. It is not.
That makes sense. It all makes sense to me.
So Timberwolf takes the fight to Validus, the Emerald Eye, and Tharok, and keeps them all at a standstill until the Legion can respond to the distress call. And then the Legion makes short work of the remaining Fatal Five.
Hmm.
So Timberwolf was the hero of that story. So that was 15 years ago. 10 years ago, Action Comics 861, which we are now into the retro boot. This is the issue that had the alternate Mike Grell cover. And it was the first time that Mike Grell drew the Legion for publication since the anniversary issue in which he recapped the Wedding Tabloid.
Wow.
Was that like issue 45 or something like that of volume 3?
Oh, God.
Lightning Lad, like his unlucky day or
It was 45. Yeah. You're correct.
Yeah, so that was the last time he Grell drew the Legion until this alternate cover, the variant cover.
Well, then.
And that is 10 years ago was the retro boot. Can you believe that?
Wow, yeah.
The Lightning Saga 10 years ago.
I can believe it.
It came out shortly before we put this show together.
Mm-hmm, it did.
Yeah, wow. That's crazy. apparently 10 months before.
The age is just upon us now.
And we're all so that, old. So that is this week in Legion history.
That's awesome. Thank you for that, Michael. Thank you. Wow. Yeah. So, you know, again, it's like looking at that start in getting into Legion, and this is where things like the showcases, this is where things like all the collected editions we talked about last week, this is why they're so important. Is because, you know, this is what got Travis into the Legion. For me, it was a lot of what got me into the Legion, because I had read bits and pieces of the current stories, and for some reason, the Conway stuff wasn't lighting my brain on fire.
Go figure.
But
for some reason.
But going back to those old stories blew my mind. You know, like reading that Universo, I can remember my friend Jason and I can remember the two of us passing that digest back and forth, and you know, just like, did you read the Universo story? You know, it's like, it was his father. And you know, our minds were blown by that story. And the Sun Eater was in that one as well. And it's like, it's like Feral Lad, like he was, you know, we hadn't seen him before this story, and now he's dead, and you know, it completely blew our minds, and this was, you know, I mean, you know, and this was early comic book reading days for us, and it was kind of what got us into it in the first place, and then we were in deep, but that was a real catalyst for us. You know, because it was these stories that, you know, at that point when we think about it, those stories were like 14 years ago. So they were only slightly, you know, older, relatively speaking, than the retro boot. when you think about that, and so that was the stuff that kind of kept me in, and I would check in on Legion periodically, and it was when Levitz came in, and as a big Micronauts fan, Broderick was on the book, so it's like, oh, I'm interested in this. And then I went to a dentist appointment and picked up that Computo annual, and that was it for me. You know, then it finally took. But these digests, you know, it was a big deal, and this is where all these reprint volumes, and I think, as I said last week, I think they still need to do a better job of guiding the reader as to what this is in this book, and sort of what that means in the overall grander context of the Legion, mm-hmm. but you know, this is the stuff that you know, this is what's going to, you know, bring other people into the fold. And as we talked about when we talked a little bit about some of the sales numbers, is they need new people coming into the fold.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know, and so, anyway. Sorry. I get all ever so energized when I hear people talk about the digests again, you know, because
you got on a roll there.
Oh, I know. It's good stuff. All right. All right. Anyone got anything else they want to add to all this?
Nah, I think I'm good.
I think we have discussed the Space Circus of Death to death.
To death. Yeah. Yes.
I tend to think we moved on from the space circus fairly quickly.
And I tried to read as fast as I could.
So. Any discussion of it is more than enough.
There you have it. So we've done all of the discussing of it.
We've done our due diligence.
Indeed, indeed. All right, then.
Check this one off the list. Done.
Tick. All right. Comments, as always, are welcome to Legion of Substitute Podcasters at gmail.com. You can join in the conversation on our Facebook page, which can be found at facebook.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. We are on the Twitter. We are LOSP Podcast. And I'm trying to type, I'm trying to say all this while I type in the theme to find it. But in addition to all these things, you can head over to our website, LegionofSubstitutePodcasters.com, where you can leave a comment on this or any episode. And with that, we make our way back into the time bubble, away from the Circus of Death, going back about 35 years so we can read ourselves some of the digest, because that's awesome. And we will see you all next week.
Ringmasters are evil.